Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, listen. We didn't invent lunch. No, we're not really in that line of business. But we did make lunch better because we are in that line of business. We made up a thing called the B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch. It's a collection of your favorite B-Dubs food. And as we all know, a lunch with your favorite food is a better lunch. It sounds simple, but it's taken ages for mankind to arrive at this solution. Sorry we weren't involved in this lunch situation sooner. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, creator of The Guest Book, Greg Garcia. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, while you're listening to this, he'll be sending a message to the fat cats in Washington. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I do appreciate that, and we do appreciate you guys sharing the good news. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Me so talky.
So a little weird, a little insight into my wiring and what makes me different and weird.
Do tell.
I shall.
Normal length show today, right?
I have a couple events coming up in this order. I have kind of a busy weekend coming up. So I am going to D.C. to do this Congress thing. And I don't know that much about it, but that's what the flight there is for. It's you know, people sort of go, oh, just why are you doing a last minute thing? And it's like, hey, 5 hours and 10 minutes in an airplane is as much quiet time as I'll ever get in my life and all the time I need to compose whatever it is I need to compose. So plus I have so much leading into going to DC that it'd be foolish to try to fix it now.
Oh, so you're preparing,
talking about preparing your remarks.
Right. Yeah, so you're preparing your remarks to Congress.
Going before, yeah.
Sorry, I don't know how I worded that, but anyway, what I said.
You said people are asking why wait till the last minute thing.
Oh, yeah, to prepare. Right. Sorry. Yeah, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to say? How are you going to say it? I have no idea.
We don't talk very much about this. How did you get roped into this? What's
slash
the story?
Volunteer.
What's the story?
All right. It's a bunch of different stuff.
I said roped into it because I know you didn't approach anyone. Say, hey, I'd love to go
bunch
do
of stuff
this.
With me. I don't do anything. I just get asked to do stuff. And I wish people were less cynical. You know what I mean? They say, why'd you do Dance with the Stars? Trying to jumpstart the career over there? Or, you know, Celebrity Apprentice or whatever? And I said, they asked. And people ask me, and I say, when is it? How long does it take? Mm-hmm. Well, can I do it? Like, check the schedule. Are we doing it? Can I do it? People say, well, how much do they pay you for Dancing with the Stars? I have no idea. I honestly have no idea. I never asked. I assume not that much, but it was never an issue. It's not because I'm a hero. It's just like, it's not going to move the needle. I'm going to do it if I think it's an experience. I want to know how it works. Or I'm not going to do it. It's not going to be, well, hey, for $100,000, you got me. $75,000, no can do. Like, it's none of that. I never found out how much or anything. Celebrity Apprentice, I never found out anything. I was play for a charity, whatever. Just it all always sort of falls. And look, this is good and this is bad. It's mostly bad. It's not great for your career to just go, yeah, why not? Let's do it. So I imagine with this No Safe Spaces thing that Dennis Prager and I are working on, it was starting to gather a little momentum. And I think the timing was right because all these events kept coming up on college campuses and stuff. Somebody who has some clout or political will or something from the Prager No Safe Spaces camp contacted somebody in D.C. and said, how about we have this guy come up and talk about this? And then this is what I assume. I never asked. The reason I don't ask It's the same way. It's the same reason I don't ask when I see somebody and they have a ding in the side of their car and there's all these assholes have to go, whoa, what happened? What happened here? What happened? Well, look, it's a shopping cart got pushed into it, or this. Told my wife 780 times, if she's going to pull out before I leave for work, you got to check your rear, but she doesn't. You're going to agitate the person. Whatever the story is, there's a ding in the side of their nice car. It's usually going to be, it's not going to be this. I was banging Gisele Bündchen and her super shapely ass pushed in the quarter panel.
You know how it is.
We're going out pretty hard.
Man. Glad you brought that up. Made me think about that. Yeah. No, it's not. I told Tom to hold my beer and we're going at it pretty good. No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be, I had the car 2 days. 2 days. And I pulled into a Starbucks and I parked. I left plenty of room and some asshole. And don't worry, there was never a letter. So I don't ask those questions because A, it may upset somebody, but B, it's done.
Yeah.
The question is, do you want to speak in front of Congress or whomever, or don't you? If the answer is yes, then the answer is yes. I don't have who set this up. How did they set it up? What's going on? I'm not interested in that part because that part's done. Right. My part is, do you want to do this or not? And then I usually think to myself, well, no, I don't want to do anything.
/ how do I get out of this?
Right. But you're talking to a person who my schedule is do a whole bunch of podcasts, go to DC, do this in front of Congress, then hop a plane, go to Detroit, go preside over a Henry Ford Museum showing of the 24-hour war along with like a podcast and sort of preside over the group of notables and discuss this, that, and the other, and then hop on another plane, come back to L.A. and do Politicon on Saturday night. So, you know, my dance card is pretty full. And plus, I have 2,000 other things I want to do. But
and you have kids.
So my answer is, my answer, yeah, the cars, that's right. My answer is always kind of, I don't really want to do it, but then I think to myself, is this an opportunity? Is this the kind of thing you'd like to say you did or that somebody asked you to do? Yeah. And you went, okay. And then you think, yeah, that sounds like something that's not on my bucket list, but up there with super, super poor downtrodden guy from North Hollywood who was essentially told to go dig ditches for a living. Yeah, to be on the New York Times bestselling list and to address Congress, that sounds like pretty far away from where I started. So
meager goals.
Yeah.
Humble goals.
There were never goals because they seemed impossible to achieve. So I didn't have them, but okay. It seems like an honor to do it. So I'll oblige, but it's going to take a certain amount of work. But here's the thing that's funny. I have on Monday or Tuesday, I think it's Tuesday, go to Sonoma, bring Paul Newman's race car and race Paul Newman's race car in Sonoma on the track against Paul Newman's time from 30 years ago.
Ooh, it's like a Michael Phelps versus Great White situation.
Right. Yes.
Great Gold versus Great White.
Yep, in the exact same car. Now, all I've been doing is thinking about that. I have not thought at all about the whole speaking in front of Congress
Please
part.
Fold it into your talk to Congress.
Lots of metaphors.
As sure as I know, I'll be on the track.
I am driving a 300 ZX 2+2 1987 turbo two-frame car, and I love tires and rims. I love tires and rims, and the Gary, I think we have footage from 3 years ago of a Decon Monza shearing off the inner section of its basket rim and the tire going into the crowd on Asmax Zapata. Yeah.
It's not in the house.
On turn four at Laguna Seca.
Did you check every drawer?
Now, what I'm alluding to is the cars have these old magnesium wheel centers. The outer hoops are aluminum. Okay. They're three piece: inner piece, outer piece, center piece. Center piece, magnesium. And they get old, they degrade, they fail. And when they fail, it's pretty catastrophic. They don't really bend. They just sort of disintegrate. And bad things can happen. So that's the rims that are on the car. Now, I have new centers from BBS, but I need to swap out the new centers with the old halves or different inside outsides, and all the offsets must be the same. The back of the thing is 9 inches deep. The inside, the front wheel is 3 inches deep. The car tire sizes are all different. All I've been doing is obsessing over rims, tires, offsets, and all that for the car for me and Leno to go drive at Sonoma, or for me to drive at Sonoma on Tuesday. Not addressing Congress on Thursday. Mm.
You know what you could do?
You have real world problems.
As a backup.
That's all I think about, and I've not thought about the other thing at all, and I'm 100% wired that way. It's not humble. It's not blue collar. Yeah. It's not anything. It's just I'm simply thinking about the thing I'm much more interested in than the other thing.
Well, there is something that, just in case you run out of things to say, you could transpose Kevin Nealon's talk about the elephant. And do that for about, 45 seconds until he runs out of stuff to say by the elephant.
To fill.
Or transcribe. Wait, say transpose?
I might
transpose.
Have. Who knows?
Is it transpose?
She means swap one for the other.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Sorry. I love that because he had 1 minute. He's a guy who does 90 minutes on stage, and he ran out of steam 11 seconds in. Mm-hmm. That's what I love. All right. If you find Max Zapata, he's got that. It might be on the internet somewhere. I can't remember. It's one of the rare, I don't know, Laguna Seca, Rolex Historics, Decon Monza, whatever. The tire physically got into the crowd, and it was, it had like a 20-foot fence. It got way, way up there. All right. Let's see. A couple of phone calls here. Used to work at Home Depot, has insights about how they pick the music. Yes. Somebody tweeted me and said the manager gets to pick from a Home Depot approved list, which made sense to me. But it's got to be corporate approved, and then they pick through their X amount of stations. But we'll see what Sean from Fresno 32 has to say. Sean?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. This is based on me hearing Rihanna the other day at the Home Depot.
Yes, Glendale. Exactly. Yes. On Tuesday's episode. I used to work there, what you said is exactly correct. So corporate, they send over, we'll say like a playlist, I guess you could call them, of stuff they get the rights to play in the store or whatever. And there's about three or four lists that usually either the manager or the assistant manager chooses to play, and they range from anywhere from like a top 40 to sort of a pop like ish list. They don't get too deep into one genre.
Is there the Graham Parker station or the John Hyatt station so I could enjoy myself?
Yeah. Top 40 to pop, a lot of range.
There is one that little sort of country-ish.
I was thinking there'd be a country option for, you know, some deep south.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's got to be something. There's got to be a country theme.
There is. And there's other ones that are a little more, pop. Others but like I said, there's only about three or four options.
I don't know how ASCAP works with this. Do they have to pay? Do they have to clear? Do they pay some sort of set amount?
I would imagine the company that makes these lists, like physically puts them, assembles them, and delivers them, whatever service that is. When I was in the grocery store that I used to work at, we had like a little, this is also 20 years ago, had a little satellite box, you know, in the roof or on the, in the attic ceiling, whatever you want to call it, you know, upstairs, and it would, you know, receive from a service the playlist. So I'd imagine if puts those together, probably pays the royalties.
But, you know, the royalty thing is weird because if you said to somebody, you know, would you like this Dan Fogelberg song playing.
Would I?
If you're the Dan Fogelberg estate, you'd be like, yeah, play it for free. Maybe someone will go out and go home and buy it on iTunes. Yeah. Like, otherwise, it's a zero. And they always make this argument. It's like, hey, why should they play it for free? It's like, you wouldn't know it if it didn't, you know, like, it's like, hey, Guardians of the Galaxy probably had to pay the Raspberries a bunch of money for their pop song from 1977. But wait a minute. Isn't this going to sell a lot of units of this song?
I think Dawson would know more about this than I would. But I think that's up to the, because I know for Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones is the most expensive song to license. It's like $500K. But that's licensing. I think you want to play it on the radio or at Home Depot, it probably costs the same as any other song, I'm guessing.
Well, being someone who works on a classic rock morning show, we play that song an awful lot.
Yes, there must be some broadcast versus...
That for sure. I'm just saying, if Guardians of the Galaxy wants to put your forgotten-to-time pop song that's not on anybody's rotation...
Yes. Quentin Tarantino calls, like, I would like to... Yes, before you finish, yes.
Right, but the reality is they'll go, no, it's 50 grand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the way it works. All right, Gary, Gary has... Deacon Monza shearing off a tire, and the wheel goes into the air and lands in the audience, and all it did was the stuff degraded, and when it degraded, it snapped, and so that's why you got to go with forged aluminum, and that's what I'm doing, and that's what I'm thinking about. That's all I'm thinking about. And we're pulling out the seat and putting in new harnesses, too. Hey, Sean? Oh, what happened to Sean? Did he go? Sean, you gone? Good. All right, let's see.
Customer on aisle two.
Carpool lane. Someone's got a question. Someone's got a question about sneezing and coughing.
Well, his carpooling question, I don't think he knows that we sort of do that out here.
Well, let's talk to him. Hey, Donnie, 48, Indiana.
Hey, Ace. Get it on, man.
Get it on, man. What's going on?
Nothing much, buddy. I just had this idea. And, of course, I thought, you know, every time I go through a big city that has an HOV lane, I see these people just kind of tooling along, and it's like the regular traffic's passing them by, you know. I thought, what if they made that lane into like a high-speed lane? You know, like the people could, like, maybe, you know, pay an extra fee at the DMV, get a special license plate to where you could, like, go maybe, like, you know, 50-plus over the speed limit and not get a ticket, or, you know.
Hold on. I'm going to get on to something, and I'll tell you about this. We talked about it. I saw the traffic report that basically said nothing works except for what Brian doesn't do. But first, I'll tell you about Geico, man. You got a to-do list. Why not to-do with some Geico, man? How about save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. So you want to save some money? You want to put a little extra wham? A little walking around money in your pocket. How about you do what we all do here? You go to geico.com, spend a few minutes, and just see how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com. Okay. Here's something that I suggested on Loveline, maybe Brian remembers, many, 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 many years ago. And, I'll say in advance, there's probably a whole bunch of problems with it, but I'm going to say it anyway. According to this 11-minute short on what works with traffic, what doesn't work with traffic, roundabouts work, adding lanes doesn't work, one of the things that works is tolls. If this part of the city is very congested during these hours and you charge people a dollar to come into that part of the city, they don't pay the dollar. They choose to wait and they come in after the congested hours or before the congested hours.
Or they go around.
Well, yeah, but let's just say they need something in that city or they go around, but they need something. They'll go, I'll wait.
Okay.
I'll do it tomorrow morning or whatever it is. It works. I have always said I would be more than fine with people going, how much is gas? It's $10 a gallon. Okay, so let's just say it's $3 a gallon now. You're charging $10 a gallon. Okay, so now we have this insane surplus, this insane surplus of $7 a gallon. I would then take that $7 a gallon and I would put it toward van pools, light rail, everything. And then people said, well, what about poor people? How are they going to get to work? A van is going to show up at their door.
An elaborate
network
of...
It's going to get them and it's going to take them to work and take them home. And they're not going to have to deal with insurance and tires and tune-ups and oil changes and loan lease payments and blah-de-blah, blah, blah, blah. I will save the average Los Angelino maybe $1,000 a month on insurance and payments and gas and everything else that those poor people could be using toward buying a house or condominium or something like that. Now, also, you'll think twice about buying the Denali or the SUV or the Corvette if it's 10 bucks a gallon. It will push people toward the Priuses. Mm-hmm. Here's what it will do. You can ask all day long. It's not very effective, but if you push people toward it, if you go, look, it's 10 bucks a gallon, people will start thinking about what they're doing, where they're going, who they're going with. They will start ride sharing and carpooling and we'll have this amazing surplus. And all these vans, of course, alleviating traffic, but also alleviating all the gases and all the stuff we don't want going into the atmosphere. And you will essentially, poor person, have your own van to pick you up and take you. And we'll even have like the weekends for the shopping or the whatever. We'll just have fleets of vans that are constantly circumnavigating the city, picking people up, dropping them off or whatever, their buses right. or eventually light rail or whatever it is. Then freeways, everything else cleared up. And if you'd like to pay 10 bucks an hour and you want to get to the airport lickety split on an empty freeway, that'll be your prerogative. Maybe you'll have a Corvette that you drive a little bit on the weekends and you have a Prius as your daily driver, whatever it is. I'll get a bunch of tweets that tell me why I'm wrong, but I've said that 15 years ago on Loveline and I'm standing by it.
And we have the transponder little boxes now. I have one on my car for the metro lanes where you don't have to have someone else in your car to go in the fast lane.
Right. I'm thinking as you guys tell me. They have this stupid transponder thing you have to put on if you want to go through downtown and the whatever.
It's really pretty.
Big, weird, fleshy box thing that you stick to your dashboard. I drive. I will find myself going into the diamond lane on occasion and trying to make up a little time alone. I've often thought that if I got pulled over, I can play, in this case, you know, my game Stupid or Liar. Mm-hmm. This would be Liar. Playing stupid, which is I get pulled over and I'm going to point to this box and I'm going to go, oh, but I thought you got to go in the diamond lane if you purchased one of these boxes, sweet. Right? And they go, no, that's just for the diamond lane or the whatever
Metro
lane
Express.
That's on the one. Oh, I was under the impression that this thing got you through the whatever, in which case you might get a warning.
Yeah, you might for
confusion. I'll let you get away with it this time.
Not bad, right?
That's good.
It's worth a shot.
All right. Let's see. You can go to ampcurl.com if you want to see a guy in a decon Monza. His wheel coming off. That was in my race, by the way. Let's see.
Try line 5.
I am.
Someone I'll have to deal with this eventually.
Eric, 44, Virginia.
Yes.
What's going on?
How's it going, Adam?
Good, man.
Good. So, my son, he's 14 years old. He's a low-functioning autistic. I'm overdue for the sex talk. The wife is really bugging me.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's about what it is. He's got the mentality of a 7-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you kidding me?
Sorry. Sounds the mentality of a 71-year-old Jew.
Try the soup.
Yeah. Really? I was disgusted at him the other day. I was like, you and your friends, you don't wrestle? He's like, no. And I'm like, but you do fart on each other, right? And he's like, no, we do not. I'm like, what the hell?
What do you do?
I know. It's so sad.
Put the parental controls on for each other when they play video games.
Jesus Christ.
You tell me they don't gleek on each other?
They don't even gleek. Yeah.
I just farted on my son about 2 hours ago and he got mad at me.
What the? And he's 7. I mean, there's a mentality of a 7-year-old. He should
laugh. All right. Exactly.
Now, is he always going to have the mentality of a 7-year-old?
Well, the way I feel is that he's progressing at half the time. So I'm hoping that, you know, at a certain point, he'll be like a 15.
Right. So he's autistic. All right. So it wasn't always a 7, in which case it'd be weird because he has a mentality of a 7-year-old, but he's 3.
Yeah.
He's a genius. Then you get to high school. He's jacked up. What happened?
Can't wait to take him to Vegas on his 42nd birthday.
Yeah. It's always.
He made great A's.
Yeah. All right. So you want to talk to him about sex?
Exactly. What advice can you give me?
I don't know. I'm sort of guilty of this one too.
You're gonna have to have this talk with your autistic son.
Yeah. let's see. I think you just go straight forward. I think you know, you get a hot dog and a donut. You just sit down. Let him have a draw off when you're tall boys and just. No, I think you would just go look. You need to learn about this stuff, and I'm going to tell you about it. And here's how it works.
Drew must have shared thoughts with you in the years.
If you have any questions, ask. Here's how it works.
But you wait for them to ask.
I guess
you gotta say to him like, "What do you know, or what do you think?
Shake him down for info.
Yeah, I don't know. Did anyone have this conversation with? No,
nope. No.
I never had any conversation with my parents about anything. So. I don't know. Like your wife is kind of pressuring you, and I guess maybe the guy needs to talk to the guy, and the wife would talk to the daughter.
Yeah,
I guess.
Well, that was the deal we made when they were young. I just didn't know I was going to be dealing with this.
Junie, you must have had the period talk with your mom, right?
Nope, thought it was dying.
The autistic. You didn't know about the autistic part.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We made this agreement when they were like 1 and 2, and. You know, right. I would talk to the boy, she would talk to the girl, and he was diagnosed at 4.
Right. I would say, and I'm not sure, does he have an interest in girls?
He's starting to have an interest. Should I be concerned that he looks up pictures of people hogtied on the internet?
What?
Hogtied on the internet?
Yeah.
I'd like to. This is a bogus call, right, Eric?
Please don't be bogus.
I'm serious.
Really?
I'm serious. He'll bind his legs.
His own
legs.
You ever see that movie Temple Grandin with what's her face? Claire Danes. She was autistic,
yeah,
and she liked being squeezed. Yeah. Like, that's a common thing amongst autistics, like being like squeezed or secured, restrained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cow press therapy.
Yeah, had an interesting conversation with Dr. Drew yesterday about. Chester from Linkin Park, he does not believe suicide.
How is that possible?
I don't know if he ever really said that, but he was strongly intimating that there was a David Carradine
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Okay. And this coming week on A&E, so don't miss that.
And there is some connection between recovering addict and that.
Interesting.
Which was weird because the most straight-laced dude I knew and Drew and I knew back in the day died that way, blown away, as if you found out Andrew from the other shop died of autoerotic asphyxiation. Like, bizarre.
Will Andrew beat it?
Yeah, I was going to choke him for not eating pizza. But,
I guess in a way that makes sense. If you're not getting it from some external chemical source, you're trying to make yourself feel something different.
Yeah, I said... to Drew, well, what about this other guy we knew who died this way? And he went, oh, he was a recovering addict. And I was like, he was? Yeah. I never knew it. And then it kind of went, oh, so maybe. Yes, recovering addicts are looking because their pleasure centers are so burnt out, they need something.
You rush that thrill.
And I also started talking to him about, like, look, if I kill myself, I am going to put on a diaper. Pull some cycling shorts over the diaper and then get in a Jack LaLanne-esque unitard and wear that. This thing where it's like, we found Carolla, killed himself. His pants were on his head. Like, it's like, I would have like elements of like, it's going to be bad enough for whomever to walk in on, you know, with my dead corpse. I don't know who, kids, wife, whatever. Why do I have to be nude?
Yeah.
Why are they like, oh, Marilyn was found in the nude. Like, why? They're always naked. Like, why?
Put your snowsuit on.
It's not like, you can't hang yourself in those stonewashed denim jeans. All That's never going to work. Like,
can do.
To me, like, if any one of us was planning on doing I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a bunch of pills and put a bag around my head. I'm just going to lay down on top of my bed. I wouldn't do it nude.
No. I'd want to be dressed up kind of nicely, or at least, you know, if the photos are going to be taken of me.
If your faculties are that in place, perhaps you wouldn't kill yourself.
Right. But also, is it just like, well, I just got a shower and I got to kill myself? Like, you kill yourself like in the middle of the day or the nighttime. Like, you're wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt. Like, all right, kick off the flip-flops. Why do I got to strip down? Yeah. Why is everyone naked? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if it's
in my shower first.
They might shower first.
Thanks, Eric.
I might shower first.
Oh, you might shower first. I feel like that's a huge waste of water.
Yeah.
But so when you find the guy and he hung himself, but his pants aren't on, maybe he was doing something else.
Suggest some other activity.
Or he hanged himself, I guess you say.
Again.
Yes. Drew has thoughts.
Wow. Strong thoughts.
Can't wait to hear that one.
All right. So, Eric, explain to him about this. I swear to God, hey, my grandmother had this conversation with me. Oh, yeah.
The autoerotic asphyxiation conversation.
Yes, she did.
Care to share?
I do.
No, I'm just going over the process of explaining it to my son.
Erotic asphyxiation. No, my grandmother said, she was like a sex counselor or whatever. Part of it was just she wanted to get a rise out of everybody, and she was like a shock jock, like an elderly shock jock with no microphone. But she wanted to get a rise out of me. But I think she kind of was saying, hey, if this is something you're thinking about trying out, you may wake up in hell. Like,
wow.
Sonny's not that kind of dude, but... someone probably should have discussed that with Ray when he was 14. Like, there are plenty. I am sure there are plenty of guys that literally, what Drew says is you get on your knees, you kind of take a belt and you like tie it to a doorknob or something, and you sort of lean into it.
Interesting.
You listening, Eric?
And
everyone
has heard those stories, like what happened to those teens, how they die. They stole a nitrous tank, they put it in the cab of their pickup truck, they were whatever, and then they passed out. And the tank kept running. Like, they weren't trying to kill themselves, they're chasing a high.
Right, and I'm not suggesting that Robin Williams was autoerotic, but that was the case, right? A belt and a closet door and a chair. Like sitting in a chair.
I don't know. All I know is it's an insanely uncomfortable conversation to have, but from a pure pragmatic conversation, it's not a bad conversation to have with your teenage boy.
Stranger danger and auto wreck asphyxiation.
Right. All right, there you go, Eric. Mission accomplished. All right. Let's see. Greg Garcia's out there. We'll bring him in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Rick and Morty. They return with the new episodes beginning Sunday, July 30th. This Sunday, only on Adult Swim. Only a show this smart can be this stupid. Interdimensional murder, alien... Interdimensional murder? Alien drug use, testicular monsters in space... Sounds like a very bad dream. Season 3 includes the darkest adventures yet. Created by Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon, creator of Community. Oh, those guys are geniuses. I love that show. We love Joel McHale. We love Community. And now we love Rick and Morty. 100% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. What else do you need, people? Only on Adult Swim. Catch up now. At the adultswim.com, so you can get caught up on episodes at adultswim.com. Rick and Morty, Adult Swim, this Sunday, July 30th. All right, let's see. Gary, do we have our... somebody tweeted me this two things. One was a billboard. It was a billboard with... Hispanic kids basically saying they shouldn't have to didn't have to smoke pot. I don't know where this billboard is from. I'm obsessed with PSAs and freebie
this
billboards.
Is amazing.
We don't need pot to have fun. Big letters at the top. This is five young Hispanic kids kind of doing a selfie pose. We're Hispanics. We're cool by default.
Boy. They got some research in and decided to reverse engineer this.
All right. First off, it's 2017. I thought the whole deal was we're supposed to be getting away from all the race-driven stuff.
I don't know what this is.
The whole move with the content of the character and not the color of the skin. What are we...
This is the opposite direction.
What is driving this? And, Brian, you heard me say, when we came into our second term with our first black president... Mm-hmm. We were going to start doubling down on all things race because it was becoming a non-issue because when a black president of a predominantly white and everything else land is elected into their second term, you could safely say whatever the culture is, whether it's here abroad or another planet, you go, well, that culture is probably done with this problem, or at least it's...
Evolving through it.
Mm-hmm. through it. Why then, in the last few years and months even, have we doubled down on our efforts for this? And this is why. Because somehow we can't let this narrative go, and we won't let it go. And yet, all the people that sit and make the decree that we need to just, everyone's an individual. You just judge people on their actions. It doesn't matter what their heritage is or what their skin color is. We don't need to smoke pot to have fun. We're Hispanics. We're cool by default.
Is this California?
I don't know. It feels Texas or California or something like that. Also, in a world where everything is triple vetted, this is going on a billboard that's 30 foot by 70 foot that 200 million motorists go by. Like, doesn't somebody go, whoa, we can't say we're cool because of our heritage, like by default.
It feels also, like one of those like that a church would put up or like a religious group.
It
like,
does.
Gary, can you Google this?
This is the state of Washington where weed was recently legalized.
Oh, that's even more bizarre. Oh, wait, in the state of Washington or put up by, like, the government?
I don't understand the question.
Sorry, we said this is the state of Washington.
This is in the state of Washington.
Okay.
This is from the Washington Department of Health.
Sponsored by Washington.gov.
Washington Department of Health. We're cool.
Wow.
Well, this is how you know you're doing good if you're white or Asian.
Because there was apparently an uproar and they took it down.
It's just stupid. And also
it's condescending.
Announcing an entire group is cool by default. You do not want that. Go earn your own. It's my wah-wah-wubsy thing. Go stake your own claim, but don't just say, hey, I was born to this heritage, so I don't have to do anything because I'm cool by default.
Change the golden rule.
Yes.
And you'll be cool.
Doing the math. Now we got to do the math. Either every other culture is cool by default, in which case nobody's cool by default because we're all the same, or... The polls aren't cool by default.
So go ahead and smoke all the pot you want. June hit the nail on the head. It's condescending. It's cloying. It feels like what a narc would, you know, the message they would deliver to.
It's what you would do if you thought. Yes, it is what it is. It is a kind of a super condescending. Hey, people who aren't really up to the task of life. Don't worry. You're cool.
You're hip.
I think you're good enough.
Stupid as hell. The next thing.
What a waste.
Well, is there any thought put into any of this stuff with all the things you could do? Like, meaning you get a big size billboard on a big size highway with plenty of eyeballs and plenty of traffic, and it probably costs $50,000 a month to rent that billboard out. Put something of some import or use on there. We're cool by default. All right. And then, Gary, somebody sent me one, and boy, was I saddened. Somebody won the lottery. You know I hate the lottery. I can't stand the goddamn lottery. The lottery. Fuck the lottery. And the reason I say fuck the lottery, it's the worst message the government could send the people, which is you got one shot, at any kind of success, and it's buying a ticket from an Asian woman, and hopefully the numbers align. But I never thought about how insidious this one was. Now they do the lottery. Like, I don't like the win 20 million bucks. You win 20 million bucks, you don't deserve 20 million bucks, you don't know how handle 20 million bucks, you lose 20 million bucks, and you go into depression. Fine. Much more insidious. This is Daniela Ruiz, or Ruse, or Ruse, or whatever. She's a teen. She's a teenager. She's winning $500 a week for life. Mm. You want to talk about just cutting a teen off at the knees? Give them 500. My buddies, including myself, everybody. Yeah, we're going to, I mean, look, giving people 10 million bucks who don't deserve 10 million bucks ruins them.
Right.
Giving them 500 a week, like enough to get by as a teen for the rest of their goddamn life will, without exception, ruin a person who's stupid enough to buy a lottery ticket. Can teens even buy lottery tickets?
You're 18.
Yeah, I get, because this, I
mean, they're playing fast and loose with the team. You know, it's obviously right. 18 or 19.
Well, and to even to an 18-year-old, 500 bucks a week's pretty damn sweet. But how long does it continue to feel like that until you're just like, yeah, it's good enough. I don't need to work.
Well, from the word go, and then why are you going to study? Why are you going to climb the corporate ladder? Why are you going to go get some or stake your claim if that's it? All right. A lottery is insane. We should outlaw the goddamn lottery, and certainly the 500 bucks a week for the rest of your life. That's just methadone for retards.
Maybe we should put up a new billboard that says, don't play the lottery, you're dumb enough.
Ooh, I like that. And this whole thing, it's going to the schools. Okay, how are the schools doing? Yeah, let's bring in Greg Garcia, shall we? I'll tell you guys about True Car. Shopping for a new car? Shopping for a used car? How about True Car? You can get pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. True Car, real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from actual inventory. Oh. All right. So what are you going to do? You go to True Car, you lock in your price, and you get on with it. Over 3 million cars have been sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So again, if you want to go new, you want to go used, you got to go True Car. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. So you want to buy new, you want to buy used, or you do what our own Max Pata did. He bought a Prius with 200 miles on it. So it had only gone through a teaspoon of gas before he purchased it. A True Car. New or used, True Car. All right, we'll take a quick break. Then we'll come back. We'll bring in Greg Garcia right after this.
Daredevil Events and Corolla Drinks present Rock at the Shop featuring Loxy.
Oh, man.
July 29th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo, California.
Yes, but I can't help you go follow your woman through any
Loxy. Plus, the smoking kills.
Just another Southern California.
Rock at the Shop, July 29th.
Now the pretty girls start to look the same.
Corolla Drinks presents Rock at the Shop with Loxy and the Smokin' Kills, hosted by comedian Matt Edgar, July 29th at South Bay Customs, 115 Penn Street, El Segundo, California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Saturday, August 5th at the Irvine Improv. Don't miss the Podcasting Masterclass with Adam Carolla.
Find out how I started my podcast and turned it into a media empire by attending my Podcasting Masterclass at the Irvine Improv, 10 a.m., August 5th. I'll be joined by the team at Podcast One, the largest podcast network in the world, including my friends, billionaire Norm Pattiz and CEO Jim Burke. This six-hour course will unlock the secrets to get you started and grow your very own show from the ground up.
Plus, Bald Brian, Gina Grad, and Dawson from the show will be there. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
Adam Rang are absolutely hilarious and true. It's willing to discuss controversial subject that the mainstream media shy away from.
You said it, pal. Go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I built houses with that guy. Can you imagine building a house with that guy?
How did it not get built upside down?
Greg Garcia is in studio. The guest book, the name of the new show, new episodes, premiere next Thursday, August 3rd, TBS, 10 o'clock. Good to see you, Greg.
Good to be here.
Greg's been creating lots of shows for a long time. I mean, man, you're a young man. My name is Earl. Jeez, that was you were a baby when you created that, right?
Yeah, I think I was 30. I think I was 30 when that came on. I think it was around, it was 2007, actually. So it wasn't too long ago. But yeah, I started kind of early with the writing.
So tell us about the path. Where do you hail from and how do you get to the point where you create shows? I don't think there's many things that are more difficult to do. Maybe UFC ring announcer.
A buffer.
To get to that. Creating TV shows.
Yeah, it's not easy, but yeah, I started. I grew up in Arlington, Virginia, and I just love sitcoms, so I would watch them all day long. That's what I would watch. And then I got to college, and I went to this little school called Frostburg State University up in Western Maryland, like right in the Panhandle by West Virginia and Pennsylvania. And they had a class for TV writing, just on a fluke. So I took it because I needed three more credits, and wrote a Cheers spec script, and they had this thing where they were hooked up with Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers looked at a bunch of scripts in the country, and then they liked mine, so they picked two people in the country and flew us to Warner Brothers to like hang out on a sitcom set for a little bit.
Remember the sitcom?
Yeah, Room for Two with Linda Lavin and Patricia Heaton.
Wow, what? Patty Heaton and now Linda Lavin, of course, from Alice, who sung the theme to Alice.
Yeah, there's a new girl in town.
And she scatted.
Wow, that was the thing for that era, I guess.
Yeah, she was scatted. She scatted that song. There's a new girl in town, and she's looking good.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's a fresh face in the neighborhood. Yeah, it's weird when you're a kid and you're watching shows like Alice, and you have like a 48-year-old waitress at a really bad diner outside of Phoenix, and you're like, she's got her shit together, this one over here.
She's single. So
she's got a teenage son.
It sets the bar low for you, yeah.
Also, a little glimpse into the Carolla family, where I thought these people were on top of the world. Hey, Linda, can you open your mouth when you sing next time?
Here to say, with some love so sweet.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That was exhausting.
I know.
That was the most part of my childhood. Sitcom-y intro of all sitcoms.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, but
again, she's a waitress at a bad diner outside of Phoenix, and I'm watching this going, she's got the world by the tail, this one right here.
And the sexy one is older than her, Flo.
Flo.
Yeah. She looks a good 10 years older.
Yeah, it's so weird, these like insane loser jobs that if our daughters ended up working at a greasy spoon outside of Phoenix in their 40s, like we'd just be like, all right, so what happened with the methadone?
What did I do?
Yeah, we did something wrong. Should have backed off on the molestation just a little bit.
So anyway, I went out there for 2 weeks, and I was working for Tony Kornheiser on the radio in D.C.
We love Tony Kornheiser.
He's a good guy. And I went back to D.C., just decided I was going to come out here and give it a shot. So I saved some money, slept at on a guy's couch down in Orange County who worked at a Foot Locker that I went to high school with, and started trying to get a job as a PA on a show. And then I got a job as a PA for the writers on a show called Step by Step with Suzanne Summers.
Oh, just a little show called Step by Step.
Yeah. And Patrick Duffy.
Duffy.
Yeah.
And delivered scripts and got lunches and all that stuff, and then hustled until I got my first job.
You brought up D.C., and it reminded me of something I'm going through as we speak. A trauma in my life.
Yeah.
Tires and rims?
No. Oh. It's different. This is something negative. This thing drives me nuts. I'm flying to D.C., and it drives me nuts when and I have a first-class ticket. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, it's kind of called the first-class lounge, meaning if you have a first-class ticket, you should be able to go to the lounge with your first-class ticket. They've done this thing which has confounded me, and it drives me nuts. And I don't mind the fact that if you're flying to Bakersfield from Burbank, you don't get to go hang out in the first class lounge just because you have a first class ticket because it's an 80-mile flight. I get it. What they did is they said, you got to be going to New York.
Mm-hmm. Transcon.
Or they go, you got to be going to some airlines, go, you got to go transcon. Or no, you have to go to Europe. You have to go international. That's the only way we let you in. And I would say, first off, what's the fucking difference between going to JFK and going to England or France or whatever versus going back to LA? It's a 6-hour flight that's 3,000 miles. Like, it's the same distance, the same fuel. It's the same. If you're going from LA and you're going to end up let's say LaGuardia, or not LaGuardia, De Gaulle, or whatever what's the English one?
Heathrow.
If you're going to Heathrow, you spend 5 or 6 hours flying to New York, and then you spend 5 or 6 hours and you can fly there. So it's the same distance, same everything. You should, whatever. This one has driven me nuts now.
And what are they saving? Like, what are they saving? They give you a little drink in there, and they give you a place to plug in your phone and a comfortable seat.
You get the cube of cheese and that weird thing that you don't know what end to open it from.
Yeah.
So here's the latest. Got a first class Delta ticket to go to D.C. Okay. I say, Matt, check it out. Also, I'm talking to him on the ride in. Like, the flight's like 5 hours and 19 minutes or something. Jeez. It turns out D.C. is like 100 miles from New York. It's the same flight. They have first class, and you can get in the first class lounge if you're going from L.A. to either New York or Miami, but not D.C.
On those specific routes?
Yes, those are the two. And the ticket from L.A. to D.C. is the same as the ticket price from L.A. to New York, because it's all just about Jet A fuel and the size of the compartment you're sitting in.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts. I have a first-class ticket that goes across the country. Can I not go in here and have a Snapple and that weird brick of cheese? Can I not do this? Like, what part of this is a lost leader for you guys? Then the part that totally confounds me. I have one of those black American Express cards.
Titanium.
It's like, it's metal.
Heavy.
You could Jimmy open a cigarette machine with that.
You can
that
use
thing.
It as a throwing star.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 It's weird. It's a funny card because I'm the only guy who pulls that thing out at the Glendale Home Depot. And the the Hispanic 23-year-old chick behind the counter looks at me and goes, oh, sorry. They think it's like a secured card from the Bank of Hoven or something. They don't, because she's never seen one before. I think she rounds down. But anyway,
yeah.
When you buy that card, they tell you, you walk into any airport with that black card, you wave it over your head. You can fuck
parts.
Anyone you want.
Yeah.
Anyone's within 40 feet of you, you get to bend them over and fuck them. That's how powerful this card is. I've had this card since 1999.
Captains have been trained to run when they see the card. No!
I just had Matt check. What is this Emperor's card do for getting in? Nothing. They don't accept. They're nothing. I pulled it out 2,000 times at 2,000 airports at 2,000 first class clubs, and they go, and with, oh, is this how you'd like to pay the $65 for your 10 minutes in here? Or you think this means something? Like, put it away. Nope, means nothing.
The promise of said cards, I understand, is often not quite what you get. Also, this is good material for your book, What Black People Think White People Talk About.
Yes, yes. Ironically, we talk about black American cards, Express cards.
I was actually just going to say I had the same experience, and then when they say it's $65, and I walk away, they look at you and go, you have a black card. You won't spend $65 to get in here?
I'm shame you while you walk away?
No, I won't. Well, principle. It's principle.
The thing is, according to my calculations, the way I roll, I have about 18 minutes to kill. Mm-hmm. So at $5 a minute, I don't want to invest in this. And also, I'm now compelled to try to drink $65 worth of Grand Marnier.
Yeah.
That's how I'm wired.
Yeah.
I must get this back in high-end top-shelf booze.
You're filling your pockets with terrible pasta.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Another Cointreau, sir?
That's game right.
Coming.
So this Delta First Class does not accept the black card.
Lame.
Does not let you in the first class with a first class ticket going cross country, and you can't pay $30 and go sit. And like in this particular case, I might spend $50 and charge it to the company who's flying out there. Not on the table. Nothing to do but rot at the Chili's with the regular people.
With the hoi polloi.
Go hit Gladstones.
Yeah, go hit Gladstones. Weird, right?
Very weird. I thought any number of those would be an option, especially the black card. The promise is, yes, this will give you all these things.
No, it does not.
It only physically opens doors.
Yeah.
It physically can jimmy doors open. So, Greg, you have the black card as well.
I do.
And you're devastated emotionally.
Yeah, devastated. Yeah. It really, they do sell you on it big, and it's yet to do much. Except for confused people. And you always like, whoa, that's heavy. You know, and there's always now it's like it adds 5 minutes to every interaction at a store, usually, because they want to talk about it.
Yeah. The chick behind the thing also. The chick behind the counter or the chicks behind the counter are literally bred to have zero recognition of any celebrity.
It's a requirement of the job.
I have had this happen, whether it's cops pulling you over or what have you, a million times of, man show. Yeah, go ahead.
Slow it down next time.
Yeah, let's off the warrant. Like, I get a lot of Hey Man Show guy. Go ahead. They hit this demographic of it's women between 53 and 62 that have no connection with the outside world. Like, just zero. Like, they've never, I've been to 700 of these things and kind of at some point, not the do you know who I am, but just to kind of a look, the flight's leaving in 25 minutes. Could I just go over there and sit down? And they look at you and just go, if they recognized you, they'd go, go ahead and have a cracker. Just don't say anything.
You got to do one Hallmark movie.
I got to do one.
Just get in one.
You're right.
Even just the mailman, something. Get in. They play him nonstop, I think,
Greg,
on a loop.
You genius. I'm calling James Baby Doll Dixon, my agent. I'm going to tell him I want in on a Hallmark movie.
There you
I'm
go.
What for? And I'm going to go, it's going to pay dividends at the lounge. You're right. I got to get into their demo. I don't know what they watch. It's not Crank Yankers.
No.
No, it's a Hallmark. I got to get on one of those.
That's your key.
I could play like a drunken stepdad.
That's your black.
You'll never amount to anything. You're not going to make the gymnastics team for the US of A. I could do something like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sir, it's called acting. You didn't have to come in drunk.
I was drunk anyway. It's Wednesday. All right, so I'm glad you're equally as disappointed in your black card.
Absolutely.
It comes in like a leather binder. And there's like a picture of a hot-looking, helpful person who's like, this is Shelly. She's your liaison. Wherever you'd like to go, you call her and she'll make it happen. It's like, no. Nothing ever happens.
And the only reason I got it is because they sold you on it's going to save you money. That's the reason I got, oh, you're going to get 2.5 points for everything. I still can't figure all that stuff
now,
out.
Now, just impressing the people. And there is another first world problem. The card is black. Every single American Express pay the bill at the steak joint is in a black vinyl binder, and you slide the black card into the thing, and you've had a couple of pops. The black on black, it does not show. You hit the gold card or the silver corporate card or whatever. That pops on the black. The black slides right on in. It's black on black crime. Thank you. So let's talk about the new show, Greg Garcia.
Absolutely. Yeah, the guest book. The guest book. So this one had a little bit of an interesting origin. I used to go up to Big Bear and Fraser Park and places to just rent a cabin to write because I got three kids and it's loud at my house. And I was doing the show Raising Hope, and I was trying to come up with stories for season three. And I was up there, and I was having trouble, and there was a guest book. You know, and it says, like, people, you open it up, people say, oh, we took the kids sledding, the dishwasher's not working, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And I think, what can I write in this store, in this book, that'll freak out the next people? Because I just want to do something. So I start walking around, I'm looking at stuff, and I end up writing a 30-page story about two guys that went up there from work. They were playing cards. One caught the other one cheating. They got in a fight. He put a fork in the guy's eye. This whole dark, funny story, and I left it there. And then I ended up doing it like 14, 15 more times over the course of like 3 or 4 years in different houses, different cabins, and to the point where I told TBS, you know, I want to shoot this as a TV show. It's a cabin in the woods. These stories come to life. Different people come every week. It's pretty much an anthology, except for there are some people that live in the town that are in every episode. But and that's the fun of it. It's a different little movie, twisted little movie every week. Meth heads break into the house and write, you know, their adventures, and a bunch of stuff happens and what have you.
It's kind of cool. It's like my grandfather wrote a movie called The Tales of Manhattan. I think there was Manhattan Stories or something like that. New York Stories. The notion of it was sort of like following around this coattails once to a conductor and then to a magician and then to a homeless guy. And it's like sort of following this book and all the adventures and all the people that write their adventures in it. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's fun because anything can happen. So, and the good thing is, you know, with a network show, you're always worried about your characters and like, oh, well, are they likable? If I end them in this situation at the end of the show, how am I going to get out of it? But this one doesn't really matter. You can do whatever you want.
Do they have a good 5-episode arc that you have to fill in later? And you don't have to do that.
No, I don't have to do any of that. I just have the town regulars, and I tell a little bit about them every week. It's a 10-episode order, and then the 10th episode is just about all the town regulars. So you slowly get to know them and their story and what have you.
TBS, 10 o'clock, next Thursday, August 3rd. You can go to tbs.com. Gina Grad, why don't we do a little news before we call the day?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, this story has been getting some attention the last few days. A Wisconsin technology company is offering its employees microchip implants that can be used to scan into the building and purchase food at work. Whether or not to get a chip is totally up to the employee to decide, according to USA Today. Three Square Market, which happens to be a company that provides technology for break rooms and little micro markets inside your business, has over 50 employees who plan on getting the device implanted. It's a tiny little chip which uses radio frequency identification. It can be implanted between the thumb and the forefinger within seconds, according to the statement from the company. So they're based in River Falls, Wisconsin. They envision this little rice-sized microchip allowing employees to easily pay for stuff and enter
the
building.
You gotta get it in the non-jack hand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We don't need to be looking at data that's super fuzzy.
Running up a vending machine.
Barely moved. just to pick up the remote and move the mouse around, and then all of a sudden in this little window,
a furious amount of activity.
a Fitbit for jerking off.
Yeah. You lead a very sedentary lifestyle.
Yeah, let's look at the graph here. Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like the ultimate slippery slope?
It is, and that's why I put it in the non-business hand. there's no doubt in my mind, just like triangulating cell phones and stuff like that in murder cases, this stuff is going to start being useful in these cases.
Yeah.
Now, where I sort of jump off with the slippery slope stuff is I always feel like the government is greedy but not evil. Now, you can say greedy is evil, but I think they want your money. This whole thing is like, what happens when the government comes for you? They don't want to lock me up. I'm an earner. There's nothing in it for them. There's a lot in it for them to take as much of my tax money as they possibly can. There's not much in it for them to lock me up and then pay with other people's tax money to keep me incarcerated. So I have this thing with the government, which is I don't have they put the chip in, and the next thing you know, it's a Will Smith movie, and you're being accused of murder, and now you're on the run. I have it more that they'll figure out ways to extract money from you, but not incarcerate you.
Right.
You're basically a mule, and they need to see how much they can get out of you. Now, the slippery slope is, we see here you were going 81 miles an hour on your way to Bakersfield. Here's something in the mail. Simply swipe your black credit card, and we'll take care of
this. Call it a day.
That's where I can see this going. But it's always them. They want your money.
Sure.
There are a huge... they're just a huge, I guess it'd be like a smelting pot of steel smelter, a smelter of molten steel.
Yeah.
And they want to smelt.
Oh, God.
Smelts to high heaven.
Must smelt.
They want to just burn. They just burn.
Yeah.
They just burn money. And as they burn money, they grow and they burn more money and they grow and they burn more money and they grow more. And that's all they can do is sit around and think about ways to get your money. So the slippery slope is, they're going to figure out ways to get. I mean, what are, cameras in intersections, like the cameras in Europe, they have the speeding cameras up. Like, they're,
right.
Technology goes into, we want you free.
Right.
Bringing us money.
Right. And you even think about the chip on your credit card. There's more information on that than you realize. But if somebody gets a hold of your hand, they could pop it out. And just have everything about you.
Yeah.
What's the benefit for the employees?
Literally,
they just don't have to have a key?
Instead of taking a quarter out and putting it in the vending machine, they put their hand up to it and their Fritos fall down.
Isn't it less likely someone's going to get a hold of your hand and pop it out than you're going to lose your credit card or have your wallet stolen or any number of things we just accept?
We'll see when someone cuts your hand off, Brian.
I guess we will. But until then, it seems like it's...
And then goes home and jerks off with it.
Yeah.
And then there's your reputation.
That wasn't me.
No. Nope. Yeah. We have the proof.
And by the way, you must be a small block because it's a short stroke. Super short stroke. That ain't a big block.
That's my style.
2 inches in either direction.
President Trump addressed the Boy Scouts of America on Monday at their national convention in West Virginia and got everyone pumped up for the holiday season in the middle of the summer.
The holiday season.
Yeah. He also mixed a traditional message to scouts about loyalty, service to others, never giving up, along with mentions of the fake news and what a cesspool Washington is.
Rally the troops.
Did you say anything about flying from L.A. to Washington with a Centurion card, not getting access to a first-class lounge?
You'd think he would have. I mean, he threw everything in this speech, but here's just a few
not
very short...
Not my president. Not if he's not talking about the important issues that affect all of us. The Centurion card, guys.
This is just a couple clips spliced together for the speech he delivered to the children.
Way under the Trump administration, you'll be saying Merry Christmas again when you go shopping, believe me. Merry Christmas. The fake media will say, President Trump spoke, and you know what this is. President Trump spoke before a small crowd of Boy Scouts today. That is some crowd.
What are you talking about?
Fake media. Fair question. Fake news.
To the children.
Yeah. He's like my, I had a soccer coach who would talk to us during the game but then he would start to bleed into stuff about his ex-wife. And he just had this captive audience of young minds.
I had a coach named Coach Napier who would talk, but he never took the whistle out of his mouth.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you'd have a slight whistling while he was doing it. Yeah. He wasn't doing business with it, but he'd just sort of move it aside.
Like a booger in the nose.
I'm envious of those guys.
What would he say?
He would say like, hey, take it. Helmet's not a chair. Hey, grab a knee. Everyone grab a knee. Higginstaller, get off the helmet. Grab a knee. Now get in here. Now listen, you guys were getting blown out like shit through a tin horn. I remember stuff like that. Like, what?
That's,
oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Getting blown out like shit through a tin horn, shit through a goose, going for the quarterback, hell-bent for re-election, and hell-bent for leather was always a good one, too. I'm envious of that guy. The other guy I'm envious of, the guy who does a lot of stuff while smoking.
Mm.
You know what I mean? If I smoke, it's like two hands.
Yeah.
Like I need two hands.
Dude.
The guy's just got his cigarettes hanging out. He's repairing a transmission. Yep. He's got both hands up. They're
hot.
Covered in transmission fluid. He's at work.
Yeah.
With just that thing just hanging off. It's even unclear whether he's smoking it or not. All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina, that was the news with Gina Grad.
Ah, LifeLock, man. They got a new scam. It's called smishing. That's right. It's they send you fraudulent texts and it appears, and then they try to get you to jump in on this stuff, your bank or your credit card company. Always call to verify these alerts before clicking the links. You don't want to do that. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect. You need to monitor, man. That's why you got to get LifeLock. Thieves could get your information, sell it on the dark web, or get an online payday loan in your name. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock, well, that's the one I have. It's the one my wife has. The kids have it, too. A little something called peace of mind. It's called LifeLock, Dawson.
Act now. Get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LifeLock or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam15. That's Adam15 to save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and check out all the stuff. We're doing a podcasting masterclass, Irvine Improv. That is Saturday, August 5th. So come on out. We'll all be there. Say hi. And check out Chassis. We have lots of offerings for you there. Corolla Drinks, doing a little South Bay Customs and El Segundo event. Dawson's playing. Max Pat is playing there. Everyone's going to be there. We'll have some endless rant there. Greg Garcia, The Guest Book. 2 episodes premiere next Thursday, August 3rd, 10 p.m. on TBS. Go to TBS.com. Check that out. You can tweet him at Who is Greg Garcia? Thanks, Greg. We appreciate this.
Thanks a lot.
Until next time, Adam Carolla for Greg Garcia, Gina Grad, and Bob Ryan. Say mahala.
Should I be concerned that he looks up pictures of people hogtied on the internet?
What?
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Loxy and the Smoking Kills Saturday night. At El Segundo at South Bay Customs. Get your tickets at CorollaDrinks.com. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Corolla Cruise and November Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new, amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife, Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.